Welcome to World Socialist Radio. My name's Paddy, and here's a little tale about Nigel Farage, based on an article called Farage Opportunist Supreme in the July 2025 Socialist Standard. Say what you like about our Nige, he knows how to speak the common tongue. He wouldn't dream of talking in high-sounding academic terms about Labour's economic policies. He distills it right down to a simple formula. Quote, that means less money to cover rent, the weekly shop, or a pint down the pub. So it was that May's local election saw Nigel Farage's Reform UK party win hundreds of seats, prompting some people to predict a serious threat to the traditional two-party Labour-Tory dominance of UK politics. We said at the time that this might just be a flash in the pan, and that come the next parliamentary election, Reform might have crashed like the proverbial Led Zeppelin. Because that's what happened with other new pretenders, like UKIP. We also noted the distasteful nature of Reform's political agenda, with its open and unashamed promotion of xenophobia, which is bound to embolden those with racist outlooks and other obnoxious agendas. Now, usually we don't go in for targeting specific capitalist politicians because it's the system itself that's the problem, and the individual political agents don't really matter that much, whether they're sincere or not, because they're here today and gone tomorrow. But then there's Nigel Farage, the embodiment of Reform UK. It's pretty safe to say that Reform UK wouldn't be much of a force in British politics without his star power. So who is he? Where does he come from politically? Well, here are a few little pointers to note. In the early 1980s, he was a student at Dulwich College, and he was on record as voicing admiration for Hitler and was reportedly a vocal supporter of the National Front. When this was put to him, later on, by a journalist, he did admit to having said, quote, some ridiculous things. But when asked if these were racist, he replied, it depends how you define it. Which is kind of an interesting answer if you think about it. Most people have a pretty good idea what racism is, except maybe for racists. When he was standing for UKIP at a 1994 by-election, he tried to enlist the support of the figure he called his political hero, none other than the octogenarian Enoch Powell. Now, Enoch Powell was famous for opposing immigration in the 1960s, and he also opposed the Race Relations Bill on the grounds that immigration would lead to racial tensions and result in, quote, rivers of blood. In the years that followed, Farage was associated with figures from the British National Party, or BNP. The BNP was kind of National Front 2.0. In fact, National Front, NF, Nigel Farage. Oh dear, even the initials are the same. When he was leader of UKIP from 2006, he advocated dismantling the NHS. He declared opposition to gay marriage, and he made numerous appearances on the Kremlin-run Russia Today, or RT, television channel, expressing admiration for Vladimir Putin and his takeover of Crimea in 2014. He's consistently voiced support for Donald Trump, referring to him as his pal, and defending his use of misogynistic language like grab 'em by the pussy. And in the run-up to the 2020 American elections, he made a speech at a rally in Arizona in which he described the orange man baby as, quote, the single most resilient and bravest person I have ever met in my life. And you won't be surprised to hear that he doesn't believe in climate change either. He said in February 2025 that it was absolutely nuts to call carbon dioxide a pollutant. And he's currently working with the UK arm of the Heartland Institute, which is an oil-funded US climate denial lobby group. He has a column in The Sun, and he wrote in April 2025 that he was a modern-day Keir Hardie, stating that, quote, when Keir Hardie founded the Labour Party in 1893, he didn't, by the way, that was the Independent Labour Party, which was quite a different outfit, he declared that it, the Labour Party, existed to give the working man and woman a voice, but that now Keir Hardie would be turning in his grave and Labour no longer represents hard-working Brits. So now Farage is sniffing political power and trying to present himself as the leader of a kind of neo-Labour Party, which will supposedly fix everything that Labour has always promised to fix for workers, but never did. So now he's stopped talking about privatising the NHS and cutting welfare benefits, because that wouldn't go down very well. And instead, now he bangs on about how his party would run things, as he put it in the Sun, his Sun column, in the interests of the working man and woman. Well, all right, even if one suspended all disbelief and gave him the benefit of the doubt, the trouble our Niger's got is that he wouldn't be able to run the system in the interests of the working man and woman, because the market system is a roller coaster and all governments can really do is ride it and hope not to fall off. The market system isn't there to help working people, it's there to make the rich richer. Our Nige, even if he wanted to, wouldn't do any better than Labour, or the Tories for that matter, and never mind the fine words and fancy promises. If you're elected to administer capitalism, you have to damn well administer it, and never mind who suffers. So the idea that, if elected, reform would do something radically different is mostly rubbish, although there's always the possibility that they could make a bad situation even worse. But the name of the game for people like Farage is to get power by any means necessary. And Nige's honeyed tongue seems to be finding the right crevices for a lot of workers right now, judging by their recent local council election successes. For Farage, the golden ticket seems to be flogging that same crude nationalism that he's always been so keen on. Why blame a faceless system when it's so much easier to blame helpless foreigners and minority groups, especially if they happen to have black or brown faces? He says immigration is the cause of multiple problems suffered by British workers, and that the current government is not taking drastic enough steps to put a stop to it. You might remember that he had a row in 2023 with Coutts Bank. That's his private bank. Our man of the people is a millionaire, after all. Anyway, they closed his account after someone at Coutts wrote a memo saying that they shouldn't deal with him because he was notorious for being, quote, xenophobic and pandering to racism, and that he was, quote, a disingenuous grifter. We know all this because the memo was mysteriously leaked. A bank with a moral compass, who would have guessed? In the end, Farage is simply a more extreme and obvious example of that sort of opportunism inherent in all capitalist political leaders who want power for its own sake. That's not to say that all politicians are grifters. Some probably are sincere. Some probably do genuinely believe they can change things for the better. But they usually find out the hard way that they can't change the system changes them. This is why we say workers shouldn't follow the likes of Farage or any other leader. Workers need to be their own leaders. They need to throw off their learned helplessness. They need to throw away the illusion that change can only be brought about by certain exceptional individuals. They need to learn to organize collectively. That way, we can actually have a global society that doesn't just serve the 1% and is actually worth living in, with no borders or states or money or economic classes, and certainly no con artists like Nigel Farage.
You've been listening to World Socialist Radio, produced by the Socialist Party of Great Britain. To find out more and to take out a free trial subscription to the Socialist Standard, visit spgb.net/podcast. We'll be right back.